Noted.
Okay.
Aha, recording has started.
All right. So welcome to the Planning and Community Development Committee meeting for 2021. First one, February 1st. Is this our first one? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because this is, I haven't done a committee for a couple of years. So, all right. So the first order of business is I have a request from my other committee members to move item E up to the beginning so that Laurel can attend the committee work plan for the other committee.
Yeah. That's
okay.
Fine.
Okay. That's a 21 work plan. So start with that. And Laurel, I will have you take that away since this was your item. And we should have updated list if you don't have that. And you're looking at the list that's in the agenda, just know that it's going to change slightly. You can look in your email. Laura, when did you send it?
I have it in my, it's in my email, but I can't pull it up on the.
Do you want me to share my screen? Just kidding.
That would be lovely.
Yeah, that sounds a great idea. Okay. In the interest of time, I'll try to give my little introduction while I figure this out. So it's a work plan. It's in very rough form right now. As you know, they're fluid documents that evolve throughout the year. This is based on carryovers from last year, as well as items that have come up through the budget process, items that department directors have told me about in preparing these. Are you guys seeing the new work plan?
No.
No?
Yes.
Yes.
I am. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Again, this is rough. This is an opportunity for you to kind of look as a committee at some of the items coming up before you, and you've got the subject matter experts on the line who can answer questions if you have questions or comments about individual items. So I will turn it over to the council members.
Okay, so in the interest of time, I'll start with Verna this time, Tom next time. Are there any in particular that you were looking at that you want more explanation about? And we can go back and forth a couple times if you get, you know, if you think of something else. So, Verna, do you want to start?
Yeah. What is number 19?
So that is the multifamily tax exemption program for possible inclusion in the TIB area. This is something that Councilmember Don was interested in pursuing last year, and he got council support to do so. But at the same time, the city got funding to do a housing action plan, which is in process right now. You'll be hearing more about that soon. And the housing action plan is focused on transit-oriented development in the TIB area. So it makes things have to be sequenced. Jack, mm-hmm. Minnie, please interrupt me if I stated anything poorly there. That's my understanding of it.
That is correct. You're doing a good job.
Thanks.
Okay. Since a lot of this is not real familiar to me because I have not been on this committee and Tom has, I'll yield to Mr. McLeod.
Yeah, and we can go back around again if you want to. So, Tom, questions?
Yes. I would like to ask where we're at with Tukwila International Boulevard and the zoning up there and development up there. I thought I might see that on here, but I don't. And what where are we at and what would next steps be? Should that be on our action plan or our work plan for 21?
Hello, this is Jack Pace, Community Development Director. Here's where we are. Earlier last year, you had a briefing, and the next step would be then to go to the COW. Because of staffing, and we're trying to coordinate two elements. There's the zoning as well as the restriping, rechannelization of TIB. So we're working with Public Works as to when we can schedule this, because it doesn't make sense to look at one piece without the other piece.
Which one would be in this committee? Both or just one, the zoning?
Well, that's the question I'll ask you. Because they're tied together, both the road design as well as the zoning, would you want them to go to the COW instead of to the committee? Since it covers two committees.
comment I'd like to make when appropriate?
Sure.
Just a little context. Mr. Pace is correct. This the Planning and Economic Development Committee in 2020 was briefed on the full package, the road channelization as well. And that at that time, the committee expressed an interest for a design alternative and directed the conversation be elevated to the committee of the whole. So that's an option to keep it at that committee of the whole level. Or you could choose to have a piece in committee depending on what the staff's work plan is.
And for me, it's depending on the direction you give me. So as we just mentioned, I was thinking we'll go to the COW. If you'd rather part of this come back to the committee, then we can add that. Which way would you prefer to go?
Tom, do you mind if I make a comment here?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Throw in with this. So I believe we did the rechannelization. The reason that we're not remembering it very well is because it was actually before COVID started. It was about a year ago at this time. And
exactly.
And if you remember that now, Tom, so we had all this stuff and it was all, and then COVID shut everything down. So I'm going to say this about this one and maybe a few other of these items too, is that right now I'm not sure how aggressive we should be on them because we don't really have normal circumstances to work with. And so I'm thinking that maybe an update might be the most appropriate thing if there is an update, and that would happen at the COW or just a touch. It wouldn't really be an update. It would be more like a touch in, you know, touch point with the council. So, Tom, what do you think of that?
I would be okay with it at the COW level, but at some point we got to move this forward. I think we're holding back development or maybe opportunities. So I would like to use this COVID time for planning and policy making. So when we come out of COVID, we're ready to hit the ground with whatever opportunities are there.
Okay. So that could be a discussion that we could have at the full COW level. Verna.
Yeah, because I do know that there was a frustration among a lot of council members that, you know, this was not just this year, last time this year, but when the CNU study was done and, you know, then it seemed like that everything kind of stalled. We got citizens' comments about it being stalled. And, you know, I tend to agree with Tom. It's like, what can we do during this time of COVID as far as planning goes? But I do understand the kind of conundrum that we're in with, you know, the things aren't really normal up there yet, you know, as far as traffic and all of that goes. But I would hate to lose momentum. So maybe just a touch in at a COW as to where we're at and maybe some sort of a timeline, even if it's not a solid timeline, just to give the council members an idea of when we can expect kind of next steps on it, because we do get asked about it. You know, I just actually got asked about it this morning, is like, well, what's going on with all that? You know, are we going to shrink down the road? Or are we going to, you know, what's going on with all that? And I'm like, I don't know. Can't tell you. So, I think it would be beneficial to have just kind of a touch in with the full council on it, because you're right. It does straddle straddles two committees.
Yeah, I think so. And then there's another item on here that is similar in the idea that we need to see if we're recalibrating or what we're doing at this point. It's time to touch in also to have newer council members have it, be aware of what's going on or have it on their radar, so to speak. And the one that I'm talking about is number 22 on here, and that's the accessory dwelling unit update. Mm-hmm. And right now it says when in-person meetings resume. And I was, I don't know if we as the council said that that's what we wanted to do or not. Maybe we did. It would be good for us to know what has been done to date, what's coming up in the future. Do we want to hold this or do we want to continue on during COVID times and get some general background information? So that is the same type of thing, that number 22. ADU is a huge, huge issue. So I think we should not just let it languish right now. And I'm interested in what my fellow committee members think about that.
Are you recommending that we go to COW and get kind of an update? And based on that update and the opinion or the interest of council, we decide next steps?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm for that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay. So there.
If I may, Chair, speak to that. This is Mindy Dhaliwal. So we did go and brief the committee and got direction from you to take it through the Planning Commission. So the whole ADU code update was adopted by council, and there were a few things that came up that became an issue for the community members. So we do have direction from council to pursue this and bring it back for your consideration. So we can schedule this for Planning Commission review, public hearing, and come back with a recommendation.
So why can't we have an update before that?
We can give you an update, but we already did that and had direction from the council.
Well, how long ago was that?
Pre-COVID, just right before COVID. Yep.
A year ago.
I think we need another one because things have changed so drastically, and I'd like to ask my fellow council members what they think about that before it goes to Planning Commission.
Sure.
I
can do that.
I agree.
Tom? Mm-hmm.
Things are different.
So here's what I've heard so far. I've heard that I'm 22. You would like us to come back to you and update you on a briefing so you can decide, because of the gap in time, just reaffirm what direction you want to go. I'm hearing on TIB and the road issue, diet, that we should go to COW and provide them with background and the status where we are on the road issues as well as the zoning issues and get direction at the COW. Is that correct?
Yes, and the direction might be to hold those things until after COVID, but we need to decide that it's a full council, not just, you know, just so I think that's a really good way to handle that, and it seems that my fellow committee members agree. Okay.
Yes.
What are some other items? If I have a couple more comments, but do you have any others before I go back to some other comments?
Like I said, I haven't been on this committee, so a lot of this is just new to me. So you guys know way more than I do when it comes to this. So I'll defer to you guys.
Tom?
No, I don't have anything more.
Okay. So there's a few items. I marked up my old, what's in the agenda, so I've got to find it. The homeless and shelter facility regulations, that does not have a quarter associated with it. Does staff have a quarter that they could that's going to bring that back?
Councilmember Hogarty, on the updated work plan, there is a quarter. It's quarter one, and staff is planning to go to the COW in February.
Ah, okay. COW in February. I'll make myself a note. Thank you. Let's see, what else? I did want to let my fellow committee members know that I talked to Laurel ahead of time and asked a couple things, and this is really good information to have. So there's a couple things that were taken off of here, but I want you to know. One was the comprehensive plan amendments for Allentown and Tukwila Hill, and those are quasi-judicial. That's very good for us to know. So that is those are not on here, because they're quasi-judicial. So if somebody says, what about the comp plan up on Allentown or Tukwila Hill, you know what to say now. The other one that is like that is a Sound Transit I-405 Bus Rapid Transit, or BRT, unclassified use permit. So if anybody wants to talk about the Bus Rapid Transit on 405, you might want to check, if you can't remember that detail, that it's the unclassified use permit. You might want to check on that too, because that's quasi-judicial as well.
Clarification though, council member,
yeah,
that we don't have an application from Sound Transit yet.
Okay.
So you can still talk to us, but once the application comes in, you can't.
Okay.
So they haven't formally submitted any applications for the unclassified use.
Okay.
So, for example, today or tomorrow, if you have questions, you can still talk with staff.
Okay, great. That's really good to know, too. everything else seems good. I know it's early in the year. So when you get more of the quarters filled in, when you figure out your work plan, the DCD, then you could just give this to us again, because again, it's a fluid document. So when you get some updates, oh, it looks like there's some more on here than there were before. So great. Yep. That sounds good. Okay. So any other comments on this part of the agenda? So, that was discussion only, except for we have two action items out of that, Jack's got. So great. The next item on our agenda is the multifamily. And there's Max. Where did he go? There he is. Okay. Max is going to talk about this.
Hi. Yeah. Would you like me to hop right into it?
Yeah.
Please. Okay. Great. So what this is about is regarding the Tukwila South multifamily design guidelines and code adoption or code amendment adoption. Just to read verbatim from the info memo, new multifamily design guidelines must be adopted and existing multifamily development standards amended to allow residential development on certain lands covered by the Tukwila South overlay district. And staff is requesting direction from the TCD committee to forward this, the TCD committee to forward this issue to the Planning Commission for a public hearing and review. So a little bit of background on how we got to this point. So the Tukwila South Master Plan and Development Agreement a good number of years ago was adopted by council under Ordinance 2233. And per the master plan, a mix of uses anticipated in the Tukwila South area, including up to 1,900 residential units. In 2019, a design guidelines ordinance was adopted to allow for development of LDR, underlying low-density residential districts within the Tukwila South overlay, following the adoption of the city's already adopted multifamily design guidelines. The rest of the district, those areas outside of the LDR, did not adopt this multifamily design guidelines. And thus, those areas have not been approved for development of multifamily residential units. Only after following adoption of the design guidelines and code amendments for the entire Tukwila South overlay area is multifamily development permitted within the Tukwila South overlay district. What we have in front of us at this point is a proposal from Sigali Properties, so the major landowner in the Tukwila South area, to adopt a new set of design guidelines and code amendments that will apply to the entire TSO area, including those lands, those LDR lands that were already approved for development under the previous multifamily design guidelines. Those design guidelines would no longer apply to the LDR lands. These new design guidelines would apply to all districts, all underlying zones within the TSO overlay. What we're asking for is to forward the proposed design guidelines and code amendments to the Planning Commission for a public hearing and consideration for approval. Just a little bit of a breakdown of what falls within each document specifically. The design guidelines themselves are essentially a design criteria document that's adopted and followed by developments that are going to take place in the Tukwila South Overlay District. It's really just as it's mentioned in the title, it's a guideline document, so it really guides development. It's not necessarily as prescriptive as the code amendments that accompany this as well. So the code amendments are actually looking to change the part of the Tukwila Municipal Code for the TSO District, which pertains to the development area, the heights, the setbacks, vehicle parking requirements, recreation space. Those will too be amended as part of this process. So this is really kind of the overall effort to get the final stage from when the development agreement first came about to permitting multifamily design or development to occur within the TSO area, generally speaking. At this point, we imagine that this process before the Planning Commission will take a few meetings. So we're operating with the idea that we'll be heading to a briefing at the first Planning Commission meeting, followed by a public hearing, and then followed by deliberation with the Planning Commission again. So a total of three meetings with the Planning Commission. The first potentially taking place on February 25th. So the Planning Commission meeting this month. And there's no financial impact from this proposal. Again, it's just an adoption of amendments and design guidelines for the TSO. And the staff's recommendation is to forward the proposed code amendments and design guidelines to the Planning Commission. Now, again, the code amendments and the design guidelines aren't included as an attachment to the Senfo memo because they are currently a work in progress. We've been meeting with Sagali Properties as well as their representative, Makers Architecture and Design, to refine those design guidelines and hopefully have a much more scaled down version of the proposal in front of us now, or at least a much more revised version. In addition, we've consulted with MBBJ Design and Architects, who's been working with the city, essentially kind of as the equivalent to Makers with Sagali, to provide essentially third-party analysis and recommendations to the design guidelines and code amendments as well. So it's a collaborative process, not just involving the city and the property owner, but including these consultants as well. And that's it. Any questions?
All right. We'll start with you, Tom.
Okay. Thank you, Max. Under next steps, so this goes in February to the Planning Commission, but it needs to be there for two separate meetings. So is it not coming back to us till April?
Until April, at least. That's correct.
Okay. And through those meetings, though, and then when it comes back to council in April, we're hoping then to come to terms with, under the discussion, the development area, the heights, the setbacks, the parking, the rec space, all of that stuff. Jack, I have a question for you. I don't want to shift this to a conversation on TIB, but in these few meetings and steps, we can get all this solved for Tukwila South, and yet up on TIB, we keep running into things that cause us to pause. It's because of, like, parking effects, heights, and setbacks. Like, on this project here, maybe that's not the case. So I'm just trying to understand how this one can kind of just navigate right through, and we keep getting hung up on TIB. Can you just maybe help me understand that as all?
When you think of TIB, there are two components. There's the right-of-way and how the street is designed, and then how that impacts the zoning. In the case of Tukwila Village, the road's already in. You already know what the road's going to be like, so the number of issues you have to deal with is less.
You mean Tukwila Valley South?
And down.
Yeah, Tukwila Valley South, excuse me. There are less issues you need to have to deal with.
Okay. And that's what hangs us up there. But down here, we can mitigate this pretty quick and get to a legislative conclusion.
Right.
Okay. All right. I don't have any further questions. I'm all in favor of it going to the Planning Commission. Thank you.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So as I'm just kind of put it into my words, basically, so the applicant has proposed the zoning code amendments to allow multifamily housing to be built. But I guess my question is these design standards and these standards, if somebody else, let's say Sagal, and I can't remember the terms of the developer agreement, but let's say they decide to sell something for another developer to come in, these design standards then would be set, and so whoever's developing would have to adhere to these guidelines. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine with it. I just think it's great that we're going to maybe hopefully start building something down there. So sounds good to me.
Yeah, that's what I think about the Growth Management Act in 1900 units might could be very helpful. So I'm going to ask my fellow committee members, the recommendation is to forward this to the Planning Commission. Are we okay with that?
That's fine.
All right. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Which is the Work Economic Development Division Work Plan for 2021, and that's Dara. Take it away.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So really, this item is simply to give the committee an opportunity to ask any questions about items that are on our economic development work plan. So this is, that's in your staff report there. And this is not the economic development plan for the city. This is the work plan for basically what Brandon and I are working on in 2021. So we're really, he's on the line also, and we're really just here to answer any questions you may have.
All right. So, Verna, do you have any questions about this?
I'll yield to Tom for a minute because I'm trying to figure something out. Can you come back to me?
Yes.
Thank you.
Tom.
Derek, under fifth one down, economic development plan. So I understand this is the work plan. Where are we at on the economic development plan, which I do remember talking about in this committee last year in the first part of the year?
Right, exactly. And so what we're looking at there is, as you said, the economic development plan is one of the items on our work plan. And we did talk about it in the committee last year. I think it was at the end of January or February. And back then, the committee said, we really want to move this forward. We're willing to support putting some additional general fund budget to it to be able to hire a consultant so that it could move forward more quickly. And then we ran into COVID. And so we've been focusing on, as you may remember from last year, all of the work we've been doing on business recovery, all of that work took the place of all of the economic development plan work. So we have not changed our status. We've not made any real difference in our economic development plan from where we were at this time last year.
How would you see going forward our ability to work and develop that economic development plan? At some point, the pandemic will end and Chuckle and I will emerge from this scenario. I think it'd be good to have that in place as to how we want to emerge.
It definitely would be good to have it in place. And so it really becomes a question of just how does it fit in with other work that's on the work plan? One of the things you'll notice on this work plan is we have an asterisk beside each of the items. And we basically just call it top priority items. So we've really only prioritized this list really in two categories, top priority items, and then others that are just not priorities or prioritized. And you'll see there's a lot of asterisks. So we are, you know, Brandon and I are working on a lot of these different items, and we're basically working on them sort of whichever is most pressing at the time. So as an example, right now with business recovery, one of the things that we're doing is when there's information that comes out that we think would help our small businesses, we make it a priority to push that information out to our small businesses. So to get to your question, I think it would really be great to have an economic development plan. We consider it a priority, but it is not, if you were to say, hey, Derek, did you work on the economic development plan in January? I would say, no, there have been other priorities in January that we've been focusing on that are on this list. So we're going
to
try to get
ask that question. I do want to ask one other question. Am I overlooking, or should we have on this plan our multi-generational team senior center?
Brandon and I are not involved in that project at this time. So I think that's probably on work plan for administrative services and Parks and Rec. And I think Rachel Bianchi is the project manager, and I think Nate is working with her on that as like a deputy project manager. So I'm sure it's on there, whichever committee they're taking that to.
Can I ask, is there, with whatever that project becomes, is there a chance for economic development? And, you know, how many buildings get built with first floor retail?
I see David, our city administrator, so I'll refer to him.
Council members, good questions. Just so you know, on the Community Services and Safety Committee, there is an update from Deputy City Administrator Rachel Bianchi on the combined teen and senior center project. That's on in the other committee. And I agree with you that we want to make sure the whole council is informed and get input on this. So I think it's in the very beginning stages of it. And so we'll take the direction from the whole council. Right now, this process is in the Community Services and Safety Committee, but I'm sure there's going to be one of the first things is actually selecting an architect to help us plan that. And that will be a full council review of that contract that will probably be coming to you very soon.
Okay, thank you. That's it for me, Kathy.
Okay. Verna, anything else?
No, this is fine. I defer to Tom because I knew Tom was on the committee before, and I know that he and I had talked about the economic development plan. And because I know that other things, the next two agenda items, will cover more of my questions specifically. So I'm good.
My comments are that it seems like the economic development division has had to be very responsive in the last year with the COVID. And so that's sort of thrown everything into a different priorities and everything because of responding to the community, helping businesses out, promoting businesses and everything. So, and we're still kind of in that, well, not kind of, we're in that churn still. So this looks good to me. Let's just hope for the best that we can move forward with some of these other items that are not like responding to COVID related issues, such as the economic development plan, things like that. So, so our ask is for us to information only. Is that it? I think that was it. Information only.
Well, Kathy?
Yes.
Do we think that the economic development plan is enough of a priority that it gets two asterisks? And I don't know if there's funds that get allocated towards it, or we just all understand next steps and when that could, we would anticipate that to be available. Do others feel that way or just me?
I don't know if I want to get that prescriptive right now, just because of COVID. And that's the only reason.
Okay.
But there's still too much uncertainty. It is a high priority, but who knows what's going to be happening in the next few months. So so I want the department to have some latitude.
I would note also there are some items on here like the Health Point land sale, the George Long land sale, the Travel of Choice land sale, Experience Tuscola. There are some of these that have fairly pressing time needs. So for instance, the land sales, it's critical in terms of getting the funding for the other city financial needs. And so we've, some of those things we're prioritizing because of those immediate needs like that.
So we have a whole year. We can start putting the pressure on towards the end of the year. Hopefully things will be opening up and they'll be able to do more proactive things. And so Tom, we can, at that time, we can be like pushing on that and telling them we want our two asterisks at that point is, would be how I look at it.
Chair, may I add? I do think the question about what time frame the committee is interested in is an important question, and also funding resources. So just when we come back with some sort of a proposed schedule and approach for how to do the plan, you may remember, like last year, one of the things the committee wanted us to do was do more outreach. And so we went back to put together, sort of, we started trying to figure out an outreach plan. And so, and also the committee said we should probably hire a consultant to help us. So we may come back to you with a few of those options to see how you want to balance time and other resources. And so if you're interested in finding some budget resources for that. But there's, we'll be coming back to you.
Thank you. All right. So this was discussion only. Is there, are there any further comments before we move to the next item? All right, then. The next item is the tourism work plan. And I think Brandon's going to take that, right? Hi, Brandon.
Hey. Oh, unfortunately, I have a bad glare behind me. But so hang on, let me turn that glare off, that light off real fast. I'll be right back.
All I know is he spoke to us from a white light.
Uh-huh. Sorry about that. Oh, now I'm just look like I'm in a cave, but okay. I have a new setup for my workspace, and I haven't figured out the lighting yet. It's what happens when you have a 1966 house. They didn't really think about lighting. Hey, so what you have, building off of what Derek talked about with the economic development work plan, you have a tourism work plan. So tourism, of course, is under economic development. We just wanted to show you and highlight the items that we're going to work on this year related to the tourism program. So if you look at starting on page 11 of your packet, gets into the work plan. So happy to answer any questions the committee members might have regarding the work plan.
Perfect. We'll start with Tom. Do you have questions?
No questions. I think we really dug deep into this in 2020, and I think Brandon, if we just give him the latitude to continue the work he's been doing, I'd be happy with that.
Thank you. Verna?
Brandon, you're a rock star on this. I just have to say that flat out. I mean, because I'm in LinkedIn and all these, you know, all these social media things all the time. And I'm like, oh, look, Experience Tukwila. Oh, look. I mean, it's awesome. People are talking about it. You know, you're doing a really great job in a time where this is really needed. So, and all I was thinking about when I was reading through this today was, it's just setting the momentum. So when we do come out of the pandemic, we're ahead of the game, right? I mean, it's just this forward momentum. So I don't have any questions. I think you're doing a great job. Both you and Derek, I mean, you guys are working hard. I know you are. But I don't have any questions. I just think this is so cool. I mean, who thought dicks would ever come here, right?
Right. And one of the things I want to just highlight, council member, we have been really pushing Spice Bridge over the last, since they opened.
Yes.
And Spice Bridge on its own doesn't really need a lot of help, but it does get, it had its own earned media because it's a great story and a great product. Great stories and great products promote themselves. However, I did have another business reach out to me who had seen all the postings about Spice Bridge. It's like, I see them everywhere. And they had a business, they had a great idea for Spice Bridge. And so I was able to put them in contact. You never know who's seeing these posts on social media and how it gets built out or who picked it up. So I think Derek has something to add as well.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, we can't hear you, Derek.
Thank you. I apologize. I'd like to thank you, council member. I'd just like to say, since you mentioned Dix, that is Brandon that put that together because he, over the last couple of years, has gone out of his way to try to build that connection because he understands it was he more than me that went out there saying we need to get Dix's food truck here. And because of he's our lead with the mall and those relationships, that he's building those relationships. And so then he's the one that introduced the mall to the Dix food truck and made that connection so that they could then communicate. And so as an example, that's one of the things that, like, he did behind the scenes, and there's countless things like that. That's since you mentioned, I just wanted to throw that out.
Thank you. And you know what, I think like with Spicebridge and what you just said about that other business, I hate to use the word because it's so overused, but it creates a synergy, right? It creates a synergy with all the uniqueness of Tukwila, which then it's achieving what we're trying to accomplish, right? Come experience Tukwila. So I, great job. No question.
Yeah, and we're going to get to it. Our next agenda item is to go over experiencetukwila.com, and I think you're really going to enjoy what we have to show you. But adding to the Dick's conversation as well, that cost the city absolutely nothing. We did not sponsor it. We did not provide them any sponsorship fees. It was just a relationship thing. But what we need to be able to do in the future is when something like that comes to Tukwila, you know, they only gave us like 72 hours notice once it was confirmed, which is all you really need to do.
Right.
But once we have a better digital marketing platform and email, we can push that message out to people that we know are interested in doing things in Tukwila. So right. We don't have to worry about messaging with other cities or with trying to, you know, break through to like the Seattle market, because we're going to get people following us who want to follow Tukwila. So.
Right. Great. Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions or comments? Okay, yes, I think that Spicebridge has brought a lot of people into Tukwila, because when I reported out on it in other meetings such as Highline Forum, there's been people not 50 miles away, but a lot of people coming into the city to have lunch there.
Mm-hmm.
So the next item then is the Experience Tukwila update, and
Okay. I just kind of jumped right into that.
So this is something that I have been excited to show off since we first launched it or first got it going. So if I can just, you know, what I want to do is give the committee an update on the launch of experiencetukwila.com. You may recall in 2017, the city engaged Bill Baker to help the city develop a compelling brand to promote the city to visitors and for economic development purposes. As part of Bill Baker's review, one of the things that he noted was a lack of digital assets being used to identify the city of Tukwila for marketing. And so one of his recommendations, which he had a lot of recommendations, was to build out a website and social media targeted solely at visitors. Last year, the city's lodging tax provided funds to build out these digital platforms, including a website and social media. Initially, our plan was to launch social media and the website all at once. However, once the pandemic hit and businesses were required to shut down, we realized we needed to immediately start communicating about what's going on and about businesses that were open via social media, so we immediately launched our social media assets. In a minute, I'm going to share my screen and give you a preview of the experiencetukwila.com website. It's important to first understand that the city's goal with this website, we want to use the site to promote great things that are occurring in the city of Tukwila and to use it to market the city to people outside of it for both visiting tourists as well as for economic development. We had a lodging tax member who very succinctly identified what this website is. It's a vanity website. It's intended to show off the city. It's intended to be rich in photos and eventually videos. The site is totally about city self-promotion. It's important to also understand what the site is not. It is not an aggregate information site. We had to make some decisions about who got listed and what and who did not get listed. This was done with our primary goal in mind, promoting the city to the visitors. You'll see some sites like this that actually try to list every business, and it actually loses its ability to promote the overall community. The site does not replace the city's main website. The city's website will continue to be used for general information about the city and general government purposes. Information about getting a permit, you're going to go to the city's website. Information about fun community events, you'll probably go to both websites. So this will sound funny when I say this, but it is not intended to replace Google. What do I mean by that? If you want to know what time Billy Baru closes tonight, you will likely just Google it to answer the question. The site is not intended to be used directly as a reference website. It's intended for marketing and for promoting the city. So now what I would like to do is to share my screen and show you the website.
Exciting.
So it should be on your screen right now. Actually, let me get back to the main page. So this right here is the homepage. So the first thing you see first image is a fun photo of the city of Tukwila, things going on. You'll see that the images are rotating. We intend to update this on a monthly to a quarterly basis to keep it up to date with upcoming events. So imagine the Rave Green Run, and in August, we update this to show what's happening in September. We want to also keep it updated for seasonal activities. One of the things that you'll notice on the website is how rich the content is. These are photos that we own. We did a photo shoot in June and July, so we want to make it authentic to the Tukwila community, so we want to have authentic photos. You won't see photo stock photos, and you won't see posed model photos. We have people in our photos who were actually on site when we came around to do our photo shoot. When you scroll down, you'll see that it's very rich in photos with very little text. I'm now going to screen through. So we have our main categories here up at the top. So we have an event page. This is where we highlight things coming up in the city of Tukwila. Again, these are going to be events that are focused to bring people in from outside the community, so our larger events. You'll see Seawolf games here. When the Sounders hopefully come back and play a game at Starfire, you'll see their games here. So that's events. We also have a dining section. We have three restaurants that we will rotate through on a regular basis, highlighting them. Right now it's Spice Bridge, Juba, and Odin Brewing. When you scroll down, you start seeing all the restaurants that we listed. We listed every restaurant except for fast food. We had to make a decision. We didn't think fast food was something that we needed to actually highlight on the website. Right now, the website is not searchable, or that you cannot search based on specific cuisine type. We're gonna launch that as part of our next update. Next, you have hotels. So we're listing every hotel in the city of Tukwila that's in the South Central District and around Starfire. We made that decision because these hotels are focused on tourists, while our other hotels are not always focused on the tourism economy. Again, we have a featured hotel. We'll rotate it on a regular basis. This is the big thing for Tukwila, of course, is shopping. So we had to make some very tough decisions here. But what we've done here is we've listed almost every store in Tukwila that is a consumer-facing business, and that if they have an exterior entrance, they got listed. We made some other exceptions for if you're in a top five of sales tax, you got listed as well. So that's why you see the Apple Store. But our goal here is to show all the wonderful shopping that's available in the city of Tukwila. If I scroll down, it is a pretty good list. Next are activities. These are businesses that are engaged in fun things to do. So these would be movie theaters, Boulder Row, Defy, and then we've listed our regional parks, the parks that we know that people come in to use from outside the city. You won't see like the Hazelnut Park here because the Hazelnut Park is really focused on being a neighborhood park. So we got the Seawharfs here, a fun image that they gave us permission to use. If you want something fun, you can always go to Tukwila City Hall. And then finally, the About section. There's three components of the About section. First is a blog. Why do you have a blog these days? Because a blog helps you with search engine optimization and your Google ranking. So we plan on updating this once a month. Next is the About Tukwila page. So this is where we're telling people a little bit more info about the city, and we're a little bit more text heavy here, but we're also using this page to promote the city for economic development purposes. You want to bring your business into Tukwila? Here are some information that you might want to know. And then finally, we have our Living in Tukwila page. We've heard from several of our new housing projects that it's difficult for people to know that Tukwila is a place that has rich neighborhoods. And so we wanted to help them by creating a site and information that would promote the city to prospective residents, as well as prospective investors who are looking at doing new housing projects. So this is where we provide just some basic information about living in the city of Tukwila. And then one other thing I want to show is we have an email sign up that we will be sending out a monthly newsletter promoting Tukwila to people who have signed up for it. So I'm going to unshare my screen right now. So some points about the website. This is our 1.0 website. We are going to add to it. We have some stuff that's already funded that we're going to add to it, the search function. We also want to do an Expedia tie-in. So if people want to book hotels, they can through our website. The website does not replace our relationship with Seattle Southside Regional Tourism Authority. It just helps build off of it and provide another tool for people to use. I also want to stress a big point. The site is a living website. It will be updated regularly. So if we missed a business or a new business comes on, it will get added to it. There's also going to be upkeep costs. It's going to cost us around $2,000 to $4,000 per month to have our marketing firm continue to do updates, to do the back-end maintenance, to do SEO optimization. And our intent here is to use lodging tax funds to help that happen. We also want to do another photo shoot. When we did our last photo shoot, we were in the middle of COVID. A lot of businesses were closed. People had to have masks on. So we want to do another photo shoot to really kind of capture Tukwila in a post-COVID world. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. We had originally suggested that this could go on to the whole council for a briefing. However, we wanted to, if you're good with it, then perhaps it doesn't need to go on to the whole council for a briefing. Our goal is to launch here in the next couple of weeks.
All right. Who did I start with last time? Verna? Tom.
Oh, you started with me, with Tom, last time.
Well, Verna, then.
Well, okay. This is, like, so exciting. I think this is really great, and I think it's a good use of lodging tax dollars. I understand it doesn't replace SSRTA. When I was reading through it, I kind of went, and then I went, no, it's different. It's completely different. And it serves a different purpose. I think, you know, part of my job, my day job, is I'm always out looking at, you know, my client websites and things like that. And so I've seen a lot of them. That one is really good. I mean, it's really, really well done. It's not too busy. I mean, who am I to say, but I'm a user, right? But I think the businesses appreciate it. I love the fact how you like do rolling features so it's not just static. No, I think it's great. Keep going. I love it. I don't have any questions. But Tom might.
No, actually I don't. I think it's really good work, Brandon. I like the rotating that you're doing of the businesses and that. Did you run this through the chamber just to see what their input would be, or did they have a chance, or even SSRTA have a chance to give input on it?
I did send it to the chamber for their input and some other stakeholders. The RTA was not included in that list.
Okay. And outside of schedules for the SeaWolves and things like events, do you promote Starfire on here? Is it a place of great recreation?
Yeah, Starfire is listed as one of the activity places that's on the same site that you might find iFly or Defy. Starfire is listed there. So is Fort Dent Park, since they are somewhat overlapping, but they are a little bit different as well.
Okay. No, good work, Brandon. I would say just go ahead and launch it. That's it for me. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that we could wait a little while to show this off, basically, to the council, until maybe we've got a little bit more action going on in Tukwila, and then that might be a great thing to do. So, yeah. Good. Thank
Kathy,
you.
Kathy, would you launch it now or wait and launch it later, as you just said?
I think this is discussion only, and that economic development's going to go ahead and launch it unless you had some other reason why you weren't. Well, actually, it exists already. I mean, it's online.
Yeah. Well, Brandon said he is ready to launch in 2 weeks.
We're ready to go now. We just haven't while it's a live website and you can type in experiencetukwila.com, we have not done the other things to really get it into the Google data search engine. which we can do starting tomorrow. We also have not put it on our social media. We also need to start asking our partners to switch out their we have a few people who, if you want more to, if you want to know more about what's happening in the city of Tukwila, visit tukwilawa.gov. We want to switch them out to the city, the new website, because that's the target audience. So we're ready to go on all of that.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. I don't have any other comments. I'm really happy with the way that this has turned out. I'm really happy with how we have the LTAC funds that are giving us the opportunity to do all these different projects. So it's all good. And I don't have any other comments. So did you have any concluding comments, Derek?
Derek just chimed in.
Yes, thank you. Let me chime in. Just to check in, so do you think prior to the launch, we should do something with the rest of the council? Do you think it's sufficient to just give the council an email, heads up with a link to the website so they can see it before it gets launched? Any advice you have for us on that?
So if you want, I'll talk first. I think if you want to exercise an abundance of caution, you can send an email out to the council members and they can click on it if they want to and tell them that it's going to launch on Friday, let's say. And then if they have any comments to talk to you before then, and then the ball's in their court. And then you can do more, maybe something after you tweet and stuff. I did notice, you might want to check the website on an iPad because the pictures weren't. So you might want to make sure you've got all platforms working. But that might just be my iPad. So, but that's one. So, you've got all those little things that you got to fix. And you can ask me specifically what it was that wasn't loading and all that kind of thing. So yeah, get the, work on it for a while and keep finessing it. I do like it. Fellow council members, what do you think? Send it out?
And I would point out that it went through committee, our committee, and, I would say just to let them know that at least three council members had eyes on it. That might help.
And that we thought it was great. However you want to say that, you can ask us if you want specific words. Let's see, what would those words be? We support the launch. Maybe that might be what you want to say. We support the launch, and there you go.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. I think that's fine. Just an email is good enough.
Yep.
Thank you.
That is all I had. Thank you for your time tonight.
All right. So then, is there any miscellaneous? I have none. So we are adjourned, and we've got a few minutes now until our next meeting. See you
soon. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Good to be together in this meeting.
Bye. Yep. Thanks, Kathy. Thanks, Tom. Thank you, guys.
Yes.